The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to TKR and Tony Curry and Kip Kiefer. This is the Kiefer and Curry Show. I just got the opportunity to hear first run stuff of Need to Know, which I absolutely loved. And we're doing the show here on January 20th, a very special day, because not only is it MALK Jr. Day, obviously we're celebrating that day, it is also Inauguration Day. And by the way there, Kip, it is National Disc Jockey Day.
Oh!
How about so, that,
so
baby?
We need to be lauded too. That's right. I like that. Put us on the platform.
Can I
make a speech? Yeah, oh, I just made one. I'm sorry.
We hit the trifecta, brother. It was great. I got to tell you something. I'm not a big political person. I realize that, you know, a president's usually in there for 4 years, sometimes eight. There's not a lot you can get done with one person. Obviously, you need a lot of help with the House of Representatives and the Senate. You need votes to go your way. Just because a guy comes in and says, I'm going to change everything, doesn't mean it's going to happen. You see that a lot in business, you know, where a guy will walk into a business and because it's so large and so big, he wants to make sudden changes. And it's just really difficult to do that because particularly in a non-for-profit where you have a board of directors that are like, no, we're not doing that. Particularly if you're a company that is stock driven. But I'm a very faithful. I'm an optimistic person. You know that I'm an optimist. I'm an optimistic person. Very much so. And I'm a very hopeful person. And so I really get my rocks off on seeing and hearing what I saw today and heard today. I thought Amy Klobuchar, I thought the way she spoke at the beginning was fantastic.
She did great.
I think she was, I was shocked too. I've heard her speak before. I thought it was right down the middle of the road. And so I thought it was perfect for her to open up. The invocation was unbelievable. I thought Reverend Graham was super at the end. I loved what you said on Need to Know about, you know, this is faith is coming back. People are talking about, you know, churches aren't doing well and no one's going to church anymore and everyone's non-denominational. I will tell you right now that if you take every fan that went to every college football game this year, and put them in a room, it wouldn't be as many as how many people go to church on one Sunday.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So think about that. Think about how many people go to church on Sundays and think about how people, and that's in college football ain't going away. And that's a beautiful thing. We love that. The national championship going on later on tonight. I thought Melania was just knocked down, drag out, as classy and as beautiful as ever. And I'm so glad that everyone was wrong. 4 years ago, when everyone said once he left office, she was leaving him. If they're all falling apart, they don't have sex anymore. They very, you know, blah, blah, blah. But everything from him missing the kiss when he walked in to the rotunda, I thought that was fantastic. I thought she just looked absolutely stunning and beautiful. I love the hat. I thought it was great. The Battle Hymn of Republic was fantastic. The Carrie Underwood thing I thought was super cool too, because they couldn't figure out how to get the music and she just let it rip. I thought it was great. Baron being, we just talked about that. Baron is 6'9". That dude is unbelievable. I mean, he was so much taller than now. Donald Trump is six. They say he's 6'3". I think he's shrunk. I think he's got about 6'2", 6'1" and a half, but Baron's 8 inches taller than his old man.
It's unbelievable. And he's standing there was just astounding.
It really was. It was fantastic.
And a handsome kid too.
Yeah, he is. He's a good looking kid. And while you were doing your show, and he's still speaking here. And of course we're doing the show. We're recording the show. You can hear it. You'll hear it several hours after we record it. But President Trump was in the Emancipation Hall and went down. And first thing he said was, I want to thank you for being younger and much more beautiful than the people I just spoke with. And everyone just started laughing and crying. It was super good. It's just a great day to be an American. I know there was a poll that Fox came out with. 46% of Americans said that they were really worried about Donald Trump being our next president. And they were really worried about the direction that this country was going to take. I am a Christian. I'm a Catholic. I believe in taking care of our brothers and sisters. I believe that we're all the same. We're all human. I know the United States needs to look after itself. I'm all about charity at home first. I get that. But I also know God works. And I know that when we do things for others, we're on this earth to do two things, to love God and to love one another. And it doesn't matter where you live or what you're doing. You have to love one another and you have to repent. You have to be repentful through that. I mean, there's a lot of people we're not We're not perfect. There's only one of those. We make tons of mistake. Life is hard. And being president of the United States is hard. And, you know, I have compassion and feeling for humanity. I know Joe Biden. I don't think Joe Biden's a bad person. I don't think he's a horrible human being. I think his ideologies are a little off. I think his wife is a saint. I think she's fantastic. And by the way, I think she's smoking hot too. I'd go out with Joe Biden like right now. She's like 76 years old. If Joe even knew I took her out for a night, I think she's striking to me. I need to go on like 70 plus dating apps or something, I guess. But I felt for him and I felt for the administrations that put so much hard work into something like this. I can't imagine. I look at Donald Trump and how old is he? 76,
78.
You know, he had a party last night. For the first time,
this guy's got the energy of a thousand. I mean, this guy's amazing. Unbelievable.
And to look at Joe and know he's just a couple years older, it's like, wow, genetics are amazing, aren't they? I mean, and this guy works his ass off. I mean, I've never seen a guy with the energy that he has. And let's remember when he was fighting against Hillary Clinton, who, by the way, is really showing her age as well as Bill is. They look really old.
Yeah, they did.
But what happened? She was winning that election, period. And what did she do? She stopped about two weeks prior to the election. If people remember, about 2 weeks prior to the election, I believe this is why Donald Trump won the first time. And if he had won the first time, I don't think he would have won. If he's not 45, he ain't 47. He had to win 45 to be 47. Oh, he had no to doubt. Be. If he no didn't, doubt. If Donald Trump had not been the 45th president of the United States, this would not be happening today. The Democrats would still be in office. And so she laid back and kind of took some time off, and he went out and hit the streets. And I mean, he was everywhere, 24 hours a day. And if we have a president that works his ass off that much, then we can only have good things to happen. I just wanted to share the way I thought. We were recording about an hour and a half late today, because I was mesmerized by it. I certainly wanted you to watch it because I knew you wanted to speak about it. But I just think it's a great day for Americans. If you're not a Donald Trump fan, it's a great time to pray. We talked a lot about prayer today, which I always think is welcome. I love the invocation and I love what Reverend Graham said afterwards. But yeah, it's time to pray, man. Time to pray and hope that God will work through Donald Trump and get everything done that he wants to get done.
And that's at the core of all this, Tony, because I mention it all the time on this show, on every opportunity I get to do terrestrial radio or some of these national podcast shows that I've been asked to fill in. I really I thanked you today a couple of times, because to have a platform on a day like this, because I had nothing else scheduled except for this opportunity, but to have the privilege to be able to express my thoughts today is such a valuable outlet for me, because this is something I am American politics, American presidency. I think I've said before on the show, as a kid, you know, I was a little different. I remember we got the Compton's encyclopedias. They came in a bunch of boxes. Somebody came, knocked on the door, convinced my parents that for my edification and education, I had to have these. Tony, when I was bored as a kid, I didn't, TV, there was no video games. It was TV, but it was like three channels and the soap operas or whatever. I got in the habit of just grabbing a random encyclopedia.
I did too.
Whatever letter it would be, I would know the presidents that had started. I read every word as like a fifth or sixth grader. I was obsessed with the whole idea of how somebody could rise to that level and become the president of the United States. It's been something I've been obsessed with my entire life. And I pride myself on my knowledge of history and his presidency. I heard somebody say early on in this election process that Donald Trump's trying to do something that's impossible, to become a president that doesn't work, serve in succeeding terms. And I don't remember if they've actually said it never happened before, but I knew all about Grover Cleveland.
Sure.
I can tell you Grover Cleveland, how he won the election in 1888, how he lost the election in 1884. He lost to Benjamin Harris in 1888, but regained the presidency in 1892. He was governor of New York. I can tell you the whole story. You know, this is one of my things. But one of my other things is, and I think this is a huge part of the story, and I know you and I share enthusiasm on this, at the core of this is kind of a renewal of faith and spirituality. We are having a big comeback in terms of religion in this country and recognition of God, and just our faith is being reborn. And you can look at, Trump mentioned it today, for the youth vote, which was, I think they consider that, what, 18 to 32 or something. Yeah. He beat Kamala Harris by 36%. That's unheard of. Yeah. And every football game, every sporting event, God is making a big comeback in this country. All of these athletes, and what better spokesman for young people? When the first
is really kind of amazing too, because Joe Biden's a Catholic. I mean,
but he's gotten away from his faith because Joe is ruled by being a 50-year politician, and I don't want to impugn Joe's faith. He's not really a practicing. I think his religion is big government, and you can be both. But yeah. I think he's made a decision. I think he made a conscious decision that whichever way he needed to turn, and let's face it, this whole movement that's wanting to transform America was not based at all on faith or trust in God. You don't hear that theme. In fact, it's more of a Marxist kind of communist thing that religion is, for fools. And I'm not saying Joe Biden jumped to that area, but he certainly aligned with that team. And it's amazing because Donald Trump, I don't think before his presidential run in 2016, I don't think he was over spiritual and religious, but that experience in Butler, Pennsylvania, I see a whole different guy now who truly believes what he said today. I was spared because I have a mission, and God preserved me to conclude that mission. And I think he truly believes it. And I think his whole demeanor and his whole approach is different.
It was one of his longest ovations when he said, "I believe that God spared my life so I could be the next president and, of course, make America great again." I totally agree with you. You know, it's a lot of times where we'll take I'm an electorate church. I'm a Bible reader. So as much as you know about a history, I probably know about the Bible, and certainly we can have a talk about that. But the situation with God is, what we need to remember is keep God number one, keep him first. You know, so many times we try to control everything we can in our life, and then finally, when we just haven't figured out how to get something done, what do? Well, we got to pray about it. Well, we should start praying first. You know, if we pray first, everything else will fall in place. Don't let prayer be the last thing you do. Let it be the first thing, and everything else will come a little easier.
I'm proud to tell you that I frequently hit my knees. I don't just walk around and look up to the sky. I still believe in the old fashioned, get down on your knees and thank God for all of your abundant blessings. I thank God every day that I've been alive, that I'm an American. And I'm so proud to see some people starting to get that faith in common that I've always
maintained. One of the worst things, when the Capra Nick thing, taking the knee, not in a good way, but taking the knee during the national anthem, because I think along with God and certainly everything that this country goes to, God's everywhere. He's in our laws. He's in everywhere, and he's in everything this country stood for. And he was in everything from George Washington seeing an aberration of Jesus or God, on the field to everyone that sat. And again, through the invocations, I just thought those were beautiful because there were so many different times he was quoting different presidents about how presidents, including Scott and some of our Jackson, some of our wonderful presidents that certainly were Christians or really revered God and feared him. I will say one other thing too, and I think this is something that, and when I went to Xavier, I was in a psychology class, and the first day we were in class, the teacher asked me, "What is the definition of unity?" And I thought, unity is when we all come together and blah, 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 blah. And he said, "Well, we're going to spend the next 3 months on defining what unity means." And I really wasn't sure why we were doing this in a psychology class, but when it came down to it, you could break it down in a million different ways. It's when every individual part of a team or a thing or whatever is doing the best it possibly can do, and it all works together, and that's what makes a great unit. You know, unity just doesn't mean just being together. We're not having unity today. We're good friends. We know how to do radio, and we're talking, and so we are a great unit. So it's really hard to be great because if there's just a couple pieces that aren't doing their job, then all of a sudden you don't have good unity. You don't have people, you know, respecting each other, looking at each other. And we got to be careful in this country. And you talk about what a great country. We're spoiled. We are fucking spoiled. We are babies.
As we were designed to be. We
are 2 years old as a country. We are big babies. We don't want to be told what to do. We're not responsible. We're undisciplined. You know, if there's a jar of cookies in the middle of the floor, we'll eat every damn one of them and then want somebody to take care of our diet for us. We'll pay for anything. We don't want to go to the gym. We just want to go eat. I mean, we are fucking spoiled. We are. And I know that. I know a lot of people do, and I'm not perfect. You know, I certainly like to enjoy a 44 ounce gulp, at Circle K once in a while, knowing it's not best thing for my health. Okay. Right. You go to any doctor's office and you'll see 30 people in there and 29 of them are morbid. Really obese, like 40 or 50 pounds. They wonder why they don't feel well. We got to be more disciplined as a country. We got to be more faithful as a country. We have to pray more as a country, and we have to do our part as a country. I think one of the things we're kind of forgetting, the one thing I think Donald Trump, I really love what he's doing, is he's giving the power back to the states. He did that with the abortion thing. He's like, I'm not getting in the middle of this abortion crap. I'm letting it up to the states. And if you don't like it in Idaho, then move to fucking Ohio. You don't like it in Ohio, move to Florida. Oh, I can't be. Well, then fine. They don't have children. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. But I mean, I like the fact that we have our states, and that is what unity is to me. We have 50 of these bad boys. We're all trying to do a good job. Not every one of them's perfect, but we're all trying to do a good job. And that's what makes the United States of America great. And we need to do a better job. It trickles all the way down to our governors, to our mayors, to our city councilmen, to our school teachers, and to our parents and to our children. And we all have to do a better job at remembering what Donald Trump was talking about, being number one, but also looking after each other and certainly loving one another to make us a better country.
Yeah, we got to get back to the concept of public service instead of self-service. Mm-hmm. And self-service is fine. This is a country that you can go as far as your talents and your luck and your opportunities can take you. Yep. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a free enterprise. It's capitalist. It gives you unlimited boundaries to aspire for. And anybody who thinks that's wrong or evil, what's the alternative? You look at these other countries where you have no hope in your entire life. You are put in a box where you're going to do what you're told. This is our rules. This is our regulations. The elitists that know best. And that's what they were trying to create in America, which was never going to work, Tony, because at the end of the day, every American was going to say, just based on the reasons that you just listed, we have individual liberty and freedom in this country. We're going to draw the line. We're not going to be told what to do. That's why this obsession with having all of these people from all these oppressed corners of the world pour into here, who they assumed, and I say they, and I don't want to sound divisive, but there was an alternate movement in this country, which Barack Obama, when elected, actually came clean and said, we're transforming America here. Mm-hmm. What he meant was, we're taking America away from the citizens, and the elitists are going to govern, and we're going to tell you what's best for you. And America, that's not going to fly. It'll never fly. No. So for Americans to finally, and this is breaking lines of generations for decades, Tony, of people that, I could never vote for a Republican, or I could never, you know, I can never support this kind of policy or whatever. It's generational things handed down forever that, you know, well, this family votes Democrat. And again, it's not the I know you guys have heard me say on Need to Know 15,000 times. This is not Republican versus Democrat. This is way people say, well, it's all cyclical. It all comes back around. We're not in the same normal times that we've been before, because let me tell you what the big difference is. The last really existential crisis this country had was World War II. We had Franklin Delano Roosevelt in the White House, who was an extreme, you know, progressive guy, leftist guy, you know, on the far side of the scale for the Democrat Party. But Franklin Roosevelt had something that this generation of far leftist people didn't have. Franklin Roosevelt loved being an American. He loved everything America stood for. And Franklin Roosevelt, under his leadership, and again, he was as liberal a Democrat as you could possibly have. Franklin Roosevelt led us from extinction, basically, because if the evil empire of that was running over Europe at that time had prevailed, we were the next target. And the military might and all of the technology Germany was on the verge of developing, that would have been it for us. Yep. But Roosevelt did something extraordinary, Tony, and I'm going to pull some historical parallels here. He got Henry Ford. He got Warren Kaiser, who had built basically in under budget and in record time the Hoover Dam, which opened the entire Western United States to being completely populated and brought up to standard. He took him and Chrysler, a competitor of Henry Ford's, and J.P. Morgan in New York. He took all these extraordinary guys who all had different agendas, who a lot of them hated each other. Yep. And he assembled them and said, look, we got to save our ass. You guys are the best and brightest. Pierre DuPont, who ran the chemical company, who may have been the most brilliant mind this country has ever produced. DuPont had no experience in nuclear fission, but it was his company who made drugs, basically, that was the driving force into making that happen. I know you're a documentary guy. I'm telling you things you already know.
Yeah. I mean, J.P. Morgan, didn't he fund the United States for a while? Didn't they?
Basically,
yes. They say we need your help. And I mean, he was funding the United States.
After World War One and the Depression, we were basically broke.
Yeah.
Morgan basically bankrolled the entire buildup.
The whole thing.
And do you know what happened too? All of these competing industries worked together. Henry Ford basically introduced, we were the number 16 military in the world when World War II started.
16.
We had just completely gotten away. We had no tanks. We had no ships. We had no ammunition. All these guys, Henry Ford taught all of these manufacturers the whole concept of assembly line, mass production, all the ships that we cranked out in just a couple of years that would have taken a decade to build. Oh, yeah. Henry Ford taught Kaiser the procedures of how they started staging all of these parts and just kind of assembly line putting together, you know, aircraft carriers. I mean, what our country accomplished in World War II was nothing short of phenomenal. Women had never worked. Women went to work. Women went to the factories. Women worked the double shifts. The men went and fought the war. Women stepped up. So many people stepped up. And now we're seeing what I think is the next version of that, where Donald Trump calls to arms all of these extraordinary achievers in so many areas, characterized by Elon Musk. There are people saying that's a bad thing. Why would we not want to call on the best, brightest, most successful, accomplished people to save our country and pull us out of this abyss that we've been in? We've got a $35 trillion deficit. The future of our kids are on the line here in our country, to say the least. So I'm seeing these parallels of history, and I couldn't be more optimistic. By all means, let's get everybody on shoulder to the wheel. That's how we're going to succeed, because that is our greatest strength. That, you know, that the Democrats have been saying diversity is our strength. It is when all the diversity is on the same page.
Yep.
When you divide them, then diversity is our worst enemy.
Yep. And Elon Musk giving old thumbs up when he said, let's plant a flag on Mars. I thought that was pretty funny. He's like, hey, awesome. Like, are you kidding me? They didn't show Jeff Bezos a whole lot, but they certainly showed Musk. He was right back there. Yep. He's like, let's do that. I thought that was hilarious. Hey, great stuff, man. It's been a great day. I mean, it really is. I knew it was going to be a great day because of MLK Jr. Day. I did some stuff on Fox 6 this morning. We're talking about that. And it's just been an extraordinary day, and to watch that, and it continues to go on television. I may go back and watch some more of it, but it's just great a day to be American. Well, I do pray for Donald Trump's health, and I pray for his family. It's much like, you know, I did sports radio forever, and in the 25 years, there's been a lot of different coaches that went through Auburn and Alabama, and sometimes the coach that you wanted didn't come through. And I worked with Al LaGreco, and Al would always go, listen, if it wasn't the coach I wanted, then this is what I got. And so I'm going to make the best of it. And so I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for Hugh Freeze. I'm going to pray for, you know, whoever is our head coach. And, you know, he got behind that. And a lot of people, you know, if you don't like the coach, they don't get behind the team. And he's like, listen, if it's the president and I don't like the president, then I'm going to pray for him and get behind him. I don't have to like everything he does, but he's my president. He's my chief and commander. And you know, I better respect that and get behind that. So it's been a great day, man. Thank you so much for doing a couple of shows on that. And of course,
one final note, from an ideological standpoint, Martin Luther King and Donald Trump probably couldn't be much, much more different. But they have the same thing that all Americans need to have, the resolve to believe in what they know is right. And even though they get knocked down, because there's never been two figures more similar in terms of the obstacles they've had to overcome and all of the hatred and vitriol that they've had to survive through. The idea is get up every day, dust yourself off, and aim true north to the area that we all want to be, because we are the exceptional shining city on the hill. And that's a biblical verse. We come from Judeo-Christian principles. It's a great day to be an American. Let's follow the example of two of our greatest Americans who have not taken any path of least resistance. Let's put our eye on the prize and do everything we can to get to where this country and all of our citizens and all of our future Americans deserve to have the same opportunities that we've had.
Amen.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.